One more time.
It's all about you, Jesus. It has always been. It's all about you in present place. It's all about you and will always be.
Jesus.
It's all about you, Jesus.
If you believe it's all about him, why don't you give me a clap of unto the Lord? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, minstrels. The Lord bless you. Turn to your neighbor on the left and the right. Tell him it's all about Jesus. And that's why we're here. We thank God for his mercies. We'd like to welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus with the under-shepherd, our pastors in the house, our parents in the house, to Zion City Fellowship, the campus outreach of Scripture Pastor Christian Center, pastored by Pastor Luby Johnson, and Mr. Luby Johnson. Let's give a clap offering unto the Lord for our parents. By his mercy and grace, they will see the child of their souls will be satisfied in Jesus' name. You'll be part of those people that truly will show forth that it's all about Jesus. And so we'd like to start the fellowship this evening. We'd like to thank God for bringing us into this month, the second Friday of the month of November. It's gradually winding up, guys, you know, and we don't take it for granted. God has been faithful to us. And so we'll go straight into the Word, and I'm going to call Prof as he takes us on the Bible study. I want you to listen attentively, you know, because you'll truly be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's bow in prayers. Our Father, we come to your presence by the blood of Jesus. We come with reverence and respect before your throne. We come under the covering of the apostles, under the covering of the apostolic and prophetic fathers of the church age. Under you, the Almighty God, God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. Lord, as I minister under covering, I pray let a clear channel be created and maintained in the heavenlies, through which more than enough of the life and power of God will flow, so that I'll be granted grace and unction to minister the word of God with power, with clarity, with accuracy, with simplicity, and with the love and comfort of the Holy Spirit, that by the reason of the Spirit and the Word, you will break yokes, you will heal bodies, you will meet needs, you will dissolve doubts in our lives, solve riddles. The Word of God will have a free course, and the Word of God will be glorified. You will bring glory to the name of Jesus and blessings to the sons of men. Father, we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy concerning the delivery and the receiving of the Word. And so that the covenant of our fathers and under the lordship and authority of the name of the Lord Jesus in unity with my brethren, we come against every foul spirit of distraction, intimidation, offense, mind wandering, fear, unbelief, and such like, including human spirits in alliance with the devil, or such contrary foul spirits. We cast you out, destroy your works, we resist and bind you and break your hold over our hearts, bodies, and circumstances in Jesus' name. We lose the angels of God and the seven spirits of God to go fulfill the air, enforce and execute perfect to concern our prayers, concerning our hearts, bodies, and circumstances in Jesus' name. It's well with us, Father. We'll fulfill our destinies in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Amen. God is good. God is good. And all the time, amen. Yeah, I saw Chinedu today. Where is he? Let me wear my glasses. Big boy. Good to see you again. How are you? Okay. Triumphing through mercy. See, I'm sure we've preached this message in one flavor or the other. And we will keep preaching it in different flavors, one way or the other. Praise the Lord. Because it's either you are under with all what is happening in the world, it's either you are overwhelmed and under, which none of us will be in Jesus' name. But if you are not there and you are the other side standing and go, it's mercy. It's mercy. So, in any flavor we preach it, that we are here, alive, strong, capable, believing God, the mercy of God is flowing. Praise the Lord. And we need to bring it out in its truth through the word of God. Praise the Lord. So that we can continually have faith. in God's mercies. Praise the Lord. Amen. There's a scripture I want to start with. Psalm 62 verse 11. Psalm 62 verse 11. Amen. I had written to Pastor about what today will be, so I'm happy to see this message coming in. I'm praying along. Extra love and blessings. Amen. So, just to remind you that it's under covering. You know, Pastor Lalu said it at the beginning. They pray for us. They pray with us. They pray along. Amen. Let me just say this. Most times, averagely, I get up in the morning 4:15, 4:30, averagely. Sometimes earlier, sometimes maybe to 5, but most times. By the time I'm up at that time, 95 to 99% of that time, Pastor has sent a WhatsApp message to the pastors of things we confess every morning. So when I open that thing, nowadays I just learn to say, God bless this man. I wake up and meet it. I meet it in the morning. Most of that from 4:54, he has sent the message already. So I'll just confirm, but later I just say, once I first sit down and say, God bless this man. God strengthen him. Without fail. 95 to 99% of the time. That's covering. Amen. It's covering. That's really like father that has begotten children and is providing. I mean, as I am now, I'm already thinking of, hey, how will I pay school fees of this boy next semester? It's my last born next semester. He will just see that he's paid, but I'm already thinking from now. Not this semester, next one. How will we pay? Those are fathers. They're already praying, asking God for mercy, making sure an umbrella is over us. No evil shall befall all the people that they are congregating. It matters. Praise the Lord. Psalm 62, verse 11. I don't know whether the screen is working for us. Chinedu, I'm sure you have a mic close by to you. Read it. Psalm 62, verse 11. You are taking too much time. Okay, I'll read it. Just get ready for the next scripture. God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Praise the Lord. I don't know the power people are brandishing about, but the real power belongs to God. Praise the Lord. The real power belongs to who? These are truths we need to get ingrained. I know men fly around, men talk, men boast, men do braggado all over the place. But with all real power, that's power that lasts to the end of eternity and powers that positively change lives. That's the real power. It belongs to God. Amen. So, the Bible says somewhere inside, say, when you see the wicked, he's moving around like a green bay tree. He says he's soon going to be cut short. Because what you see is temporary fleeting power. Even though it looks grrr. Says, but this psalmist got a revelation. He said, God spoke once, and I heard it twice to confirm, amen, that there is a witness that this thing, that is the truth, and there is no shaking. Praise the Lord. Like Pastor always say, when God says verily, verily, then take it seriously. Amen. Pharaoh had that dream twice. One about cattle, the other one about wheat. Joseph said it, both are one. God said it twice to tell you that surely it will come to pass. Then God called Samuel. And Samuel, you know, he says, Samuel, Samuel. He said, God spoke once. He said, I heard it twice. Certainties. He said, power belongs to God. Amen. So sometimes we feel in this world, you can feel oppressed. You can feel cheated. You can feel that people are doing this. And you can have your own panda. Relax. Relax. God spoke once. Twice I heard it. Power belongs to God. Amen. So following God, being close to God, worshiping God, staying close to God is, that's the real deal. Because that's where power belongs. Amen. And like I said, that power is long lasting and that power brings positive changes. That's the real power. Any other, just how long will it last? And what's the change that it's bringing? Positive change, long lasting. That's the real power. Praise the Lord. It belongs to God. Mercy makes power available. Though many times, it may not be appreciated. Mercy makes power available. I was watching a film one day. This young boy, his father is an attorney general. And then they were in a party and he got involved in a fight and beat another boy, pop and blue. So the police came, arrested him and took him to prison pending charges. So the father was contacted and then they just came and said, okay, they wanted to charge him. He was warned. And go and so someone said, I just want him. I said, well, it's his lucky day. What am I trying to bring out? There was power behind. His father was attorney general. There was power behind. He didn't, there was no police, no grag. They just came and just removed him. There are many times in which we should have been dealt with. Are you listening to me? For our mistakes, for our stupid talk, for our stupidity, that by God's mercy, we are just brought out of our punishment. That's power. Amen. It may not be appreciated. There was no, it wasn't spectacular, no earthquake, nothing moved. But power was made available, even though we may not have seen it. Praise the Lord. That's how God works. So there are many times that we do not appreciate the mercy of God. Bible says God's tender mercies are over all his works. Praise the Lord. If you're a work of the Lord, raise your hand. His tender mercies are over all his works. There are things that really the interpretation of those scriptures is God's tender mercies are over all his works. That's the interpretation. Let's look at four scriptures that describes God's mercies, even though in those scriptures mercy is not mentioned. Amen. Psalm 124 verse 1 to 2. Yeah, thank you for this scripture. Psalm 124, 1 to 2. If it had not been the Lord, let's read it all. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, in short, now this is both spiritual Israel and physical Israel that is fulfilling this scripture. Now may Israel, physical, may Israel, spiritual, say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us. What's another interpretation? God's tender mercies are over all his works. Praise the Lord. What is there is just saying God showed us mercy. If it had not been the law, let Israel say, you know, later you read, men rose up, when they rose up, they will have finished us long ago. So that if it had not been the law, just means God's mercy showed up. Amen. I said amen. Psalm 37 verse 24. About four or five scriptures that describe God's mercies, but doesn't mention mercy. Psalm 37 verse 24. Though he fall, he's talking about the righteous, if you read the previous verse. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholded him with his hands. That's mercy. Praise the Lord. So the righteous is trying, he's not perfect, he makes mistakes. Though he fall, he won't be utterly cast down. God will uphold him, God will raise him with that. That's mercy. Praise the Lord. Similar scripture, Psalm 145 verse 14. Psalm 145 verse 14. The Lord upholded all that fall and raised up all those that be bowed down. Amen. They are not the same. Fall is your mistake. Bow down is humility. Amen. It's funny that you are falling and you are still proud. It just means you don't know where you are. Praise the Lord. Bow down. Bow down. There's nothing, it's a honor for you to get to your end. To know that there's nothing I can do again. Olorun sanu mi. It's a honor to get there. Praise the Lord. Really, that's where we should be every day. But sometimes we get carried away with the fact that we can pray, the fact that we can make confession, the fact that we have some big testimonies. But it's a honor, once in a while, God should just get us to that point. For you to just agree that it's done. Except God shows up, I'm done for. Not that I'm done, you're even done for. Amen. It's a privilege. God upholded all those who have fallen. And that righteous man fallen seven times. But God opposes him, those who are bowed down. Amen. Ezra chapter 9, verse 13. Ezra chapter 9, verse 13. God showed me this scripture many, many years. I think I was young. Many years ago. And after all that is come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespass, sin, That thou, our God, has punished us less, you shall say far less, than our iniquities deserve, and has given us such deliverance as this. That's two parts of the equation. We were punished far less than what we deserve. We were blessed far less than we deserve. Far more than we deserve. We were punished far less than we deserve, and we were blessed far more than we deserve. Praise the Lord. As for your mistakes and trespasses, God punished you far less. For the little that you are doing well, God blessed you far more. That's why you can't be proud. Amen. He told Israel, before you say, my works has gotten me all this. Be careful. God specializes in blessing people far more than they deserve. Protecting them far more than they deserve. Punishing them far less than they deserve. Praise the Lord. Everything there is mercy. Amen. The psalmist says somewhere, he says, in thy loving kindness, you have afflicted me. So all that punishment God gives is just out of love for you to get your senses right. Amen. We need faith in these scriptures. Praise the Lord. We need faith in these scriptures. About God's goodness. God's love. Proverbs 21:31. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety, victory is of the Lord. That's mercy. Praise the Lord. Many of us stop at the preparation of the horse. But God is warning us. That's not what gives the victory. It should be done. It should be done. He didn't say you don't need to prepare. The horse is prepared. And it should be prepared. But be careful. The victory is not from the horse. Right? The Bible says, a man is not saved by the multitude of his strength. You are not saved by the strength of the horse. But good, prepare the horse for battle. But victory, safety, is of the Lord. Except the Lord watcheth the city. They that watch it, they watch in vain. Praise the Lord. Embedded there is mercy. Praise the Lord. Mercy gives covering. Mercy gives access to life. Praise the Lord. Mercy attenuates our punishment. Have you read the scripture? Mercy rejoices over judgment. It attenuates our punishment. It's of God's mercies that we are not consumed. So faith is needed in the mercy of God. Praise the Lord. I've said this story a long time ago here. I think the system has changed now. When I was a student, there was this course. It's about bacteriology. Yeah, Precious, I think he's going through that fire now. He went through that fire last year. All the bacteria, all. It was 2 higher education notes. And they have multiple questions, plenty, I can't remember, but 2 big essay questions. So it was like, from these 2 big notes, where are the 2 heavy questions coming from? The rest are multiple. So we had the course the next day, I think maybe the next afternoon, either 12 o'clock or 3 o'clock paper. Read through the night. Read through the night. When it got to like 3, 4 a.m., I went to sleep. And in my sleep, one question kept ringing in my heart. So as I woke up, I went for that question. I read it, tried to get the answer. So I think it was either 12 or 4. It wasn't an 8 o'clock paper. So I now later took my bath, went to class. And someone asked me a question. I said, I don't read that part. Don't even ask it. So as I went to read, someone said, you better listen to what that guy said. So I went and read that, the one in my heart in the morning, and the one that guy said were the 2 questions that came out. I'm just telling this. It's 20, 30 years ago. Thank God we read till morning. But with the horse prepared for the battle. But obviously I could say safety was of God. Safety was of God. And that's the maze of life. You do your best. But when the rubber meets the road, you say, if it had not been the Lord. If it had not been the Lord. Praise the Lord. And that's why we are always thankful. So that's why the Bible says, in everything give thanks. It's simple. That statement is a command. Because God's tender mercies every time are over your life. That's why I say, in everything give thanks. Because in everything God's tender mercies is showing up for you. Showing up. We need faith in this mercy of God. Praise the Lord. We need faith. Very important. So, however, the mercy of God in our lives should lead to a generation of power. Praise the Lord. God is giving you mercy. God is giving you mercy. God is giving mercy. Ultimately, at the end, God wants you protected, guided, supplemented, helped to be strong so that you can start to generate power. Praise the Lord. The boy that I'm always thinking, working for paying school fees. One day I'll stop paying school fees. Isn't it? The school will be over. What is now left? He should start now, be free, get stronger, and start generating power. Money power. That's it. It's being supplied to him now. It's messy. It's being supplied. I will work and for years now as I'm collecting. As alert comes in, my wife says, Oh, yeah. The boy's school fees. For years. But a time will come. They should have been taught, smart, strong enough by God's will, and then they will now start generating power. Gradually. Praise the Lord. Same thing God expects. Standard mercies are there. But it's also looking that. Because that mercy, like I said, mercy is power. You may not see it as that, but it's if you look at the currency of mercy, it's actually supplying power. It's constant. And then God with time wants you that have been receiving this mercy to get nourished, supplemented, strengthened, so that you too, you start generating power. Praise the Lord. That's the principle. Amen. Okay? So, mercy first. Irrespective of your state, you need mercy. But with time, that mercy should help you out. Sometimes at the instant, that mercy should turn to power. Sometimes with time, it should turn to power. You start to generate power. Let's look at one quick instance with our Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 22, verse 43. Luke chapter 22, verse 43 and 44. This is the Lord Jesus in Gethsemane. Lord Jesus in Gethsemane, weak. Having knowing that trouble and anguish and torture is going to come upon him, that's even a small thing, and then he's going to go to hell. So in Gethsemane, God shows up with mercy. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Praise the Lord. There's nobody that doesn't need mercy. Praise the Lord. Once you're on this earth, you need mercy. Amen. So, Lord Jesus, in his time of distress, God sent an angel to strengthen. That's manifestation. Like I said, in many things, you will not see the word mercy. The operational thing going on there is mercy. Strengthen him. And then, and being in agony, he prayed more. He converted the mercy to power. Praise the Lord. At that instant, he converted the mercy to power. And he started to pray. He started to pray more earnestly, and his sweat was at his wa, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Amen. And sometimes in Good Morning Jesus, and Pastor Wally starts, and your first sings, it's then that my senses is coming to myself. We are in prayer, so keep yourself together. But my time, I just start to hold, mercy. Mercy. And the prayer starts on mute, and just driving. Then when they are saying stop, it's like, Talon, stop me. Because by then I'm just airborne. It's mercy, but it has entered this conversion to power. But we know where we started from. If they left me alone 25 minutes prior, I will sleep more. Amen. I will have slept more. So mercy, then it converts to power. Praise the Lord. That's as an instant. Hebrews 5:12. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Hebrews 5:12. For when, we have to read this. For when, for the time, you ought to be teachers. He's saying here that you don't know much. You don't know a lot. But God keeps putting his mercy. But he says, at least one interpretation can put it, by the reason of time, you ought to be teachers. It's not saying pastoral work, but you now know the Bible. You have an understanding, you have a revelation. But it's accepting that by time. Amen. So that constant mercy, after time, is expected to have generated power of revelation knowledge. Amen. Every believer is expected to have a basic knowledge of the Bible. In short, 21st century Christian, basic Christian, should be bigger than 19th century pastor. By reason of time, I remember Pastor Olubi said, it's not by reason of calling. It's not by reason of calling, by reason of time. So that this is spiritual growth. You should grow. It's not calling. It's expected Christian growth. Praise the Lord. By reason of time. With God putting mercy, you are supposed to have production. Amen. Then you yourself can teach. Praise the Lord. In mercy and productivity. Okay, fine. I think I'm getting to the last part. So, the first one is because of our low. He said, talking about, I think Psalm 139, the chapter on for his mercies endureth forever. First, he said, God talks about us, and we are all like that before and intermittently. He said, who remembereth us in our low estate, for his mercies endureth forever. Praise the Lord. Either before or intermittently now. Always, in short, you see, we'll talk about it soon now as I'm rounding up. Relative to God, you are nobody. In short, God humbles himself to show you respect. So always, when God shows up, remember your low estate. Amen. So that low estate is not a bad that in your sins. No. It has that part. But when you see God, just remember that you, relative to who is coming, you are a low estate. Amen. But in that low estate, God remembers you. Who remembereth us in our low estate? For his mercies endureth forever. Okay, Psalm 136. So the first part is, we are always low relative to God. And God supplies us mercy. The functional currency of mercy is power. Now, with time, either sometimes at the instant or with time, that mercy is supposed to lead to generation of power, productivity. Praise the Lord. Now, that's where I'm rounding up. Sometimes we now make mistake. In that power that we have, we now become proud. The power that was generated by mercy, forgetting where we got it from, we now become proud. Amen. Be it talent, be it promotion, be it money. You that came, there was nobody. But in God's mercy, God released life, excited your talent, opened doors of opportunity for you. We now become proud. Whereas, what we should do in our productivity, in our ability to pray, in our ability to have revelation knowledge, in our success, we should lay it down before his feet and say, God, it's not enough. Help me multiply it. Praise the Lord. For the 21st century Christian, that really is the secret of spirit without measure. The little one we have that we are doing well, we need to lay it down. Praise the Lord. So that God can multiply it and bring the spirit without measure. Unless we have what we worked for or what we think we worked for, and it's not enough. Amen. It's not enough. So I wrote here, in mercy and productivity, sufficient humility is needed so that God can give you exceedingly and abundantly more than what we ask or think. Many times people, we don't get to the exceedingly and abundantly. Because we actually started with mercy, we became productive, and we now stunt there. Whereas, what is needed at that productivity is sufficient humility. So that we cannot enter the realm of God doing exceedingly and abundantly. God gave me a picture many, many years ago. He said, when you sow the seed, which many times with our prayer life and obedience we do, the word is sown, a prayer is sown, we sow the seed, immediately that thing brings roots into the ground, meets some nutrition, and it starts to go forth, come out, and it looks beautiful. And that's where many times we stop. Whereas, in God's design, that root, which has met nutrition, is expected to go down more to reach the water level. And once it gets to water level, that's where the Bible says somewhere in 1 Peter, he said, an entrance has been opened unto you. That one, drought doesn't affect it again. The root has gotten to water level. But what will make the root that is already receiving nutrition to keep going down is sufficient humility. Talking to you, I'm talking to myself. Let all this little that we have, let's learn that. Alonshanuani, and let's bow down more. Praise the Lord. There's what Bible calls the sure mercies of who? Of David. The sure mercies of David. There are two sons of David. Okay? I'm going to stop now. That will be an expose for another day. There are two sons of David. And who got the sure mercies? Son of David, Solomon. Son of David, Jesus Christ. Sure mercies was promised to David's children. Solomon, son of David. Jesus Christ, son of David. But what? Where did Solomon get it from? No sufficient humility. There was humility with Solomon at the beginning. And God released open mercy to him. And he gave him capacity. When I got to that level, he couldn't get into sufficient humility. Got him into pride. Last scripture, the son of David, Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 to 13. So we will patiently read it. Yes, 6:15. So good. This is where we will. Yes, thank you. So Isaiah, that's where I promised the sure mercy. So six to 13. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. We are just showing a pattern of sufficient humility. Woo! We're all going to read this one, so it's patient. Woo! Being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Or saying that me too, I'm God, is not something he wanted to grab. So humility has started. That's the Lord Jesus. Verse 7. But made himself of no reputation. I can't allow anybody to dampen my reputation. In each other, that's how we talk. I can't allow anybody to do my with my what happened to my reputation. Okay. Our Lord Jesus. But made himself of no reputation. And took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Brethren, how Jesus Christ, how God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good, healing all sickness and disease, for the Lord was with him. I'm just trying to tell you the life of Jesus. I said, and everywhere he went, into countries, into villages, into towns, into cities, they brought the sick, the weak, the lame, and that he might just pass by them. And as many as they were all healed. Praise the Lord. They woke him up in the boat, sleeping. They said, we pray, just to a peace, be still. Are you getting me? The leper, he said, what, blind, what do you want that I may see? Be it unto you. His eyes were open. Bible says, if all that and more is of no reputation when you compare it to God. That's what he said. Verse 7. Everything is talking about Jesus being on this earth. He made himself of no reputation. We're just giving a snapshot of who Jesus was when he was on this earth. But Bible says that when you compare it to God, it's of no reputation. So We are fighting to get spirit without measure. Please, when you get it, relative to God, it is of no reputation. And made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And that's why I showed you how Jesus, what Jesus was doing when he was in the likeness of men. Miracles, signs and wonders, righteousness, glory. But Bible says it's of no reputation. He had the power. Verse 8. So this was this place where Jesus got with miracles and God. That's where Solomon got. Amen. Wisdom, riches, fame. But this is where Jesus moved further. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. That's the sufficiency of humility that Solomon did not progress to. When Jesus found himself in miracles, signs, wonders, and co, he still moved further, humbled himself. When Solomon found himself in wealth, riches, he stayed there, and that thing got to his head and brought him down. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and made himself obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. Praise the Lord. Next. Wherefore, God has highly exalted. That's where this is the sure mercy of David. An entrance was opened unto him, unto the everlasting kingdom. God has highly exalted him, that the name of Jesus, every nation, that one is now a constant key for eternity. It's sure. Praise the Lord. And give a name that is above any name. Oh yeah, verse 10. Oh, we are ending with this. That the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in the earth, and things under the earth. Continue. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We're going to verse 13. Wherefore, this is the encouragement to us. Praise the Lord. So let's read this one. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, walk out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That is not that you should be fear, just be leaning on God's mercies. That's what he's saying here. Don't be overconfident, don't be presumptuous. Amen. Particularly when things are going well for you, don't be presumptuous. You walk out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Acknowledge the Lord. Don't quickly think you know the answer. That's working out your salvation in fear and trembling. Praise the Lord. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. Amen. At the end of the day, it is still the mercy of God. Amen. It is God that worketh in you. God will give you grace to walk in. But yet, God is the one that is working in you, through you, output, so that you can will and do of God's good pleasure. What's the conclusion of the whole matter? God loves us. Amen. That's where it starts from. In our strength, in our weakness, he loves us. And his tender mercies are always for us. So please, in your imperfection, don't condemn yourself. Repent and ask for mercy. So God, help me, strengthen me, give life to me. Father, I confess my sins. I ask for mercy. Lord Jesus, I ask for your grace. Always lean on God. You are weak, you can't pray. The weakness will disappear. Lean on mercy. Praise the Lord. Now, when the strength comes, use it. Pray. Read your Bible and go. But always try to tell yourself, it's God that brought you this far. Amen. We came this far because of God. Amen. So that you can have more. Because what you have is not enough. Amen. The proud man, everything is relative. What is making you? He said, what do we have that we did not receive? Why are we boasting as if we didn't receive it? Praise the Lord. Are we boasting? So that's how we can move to sufficient humility. That's working out your own salvation. Always keep leaning on God. So what was your best yesterday becomes your stepping stone today. God will add new things to you. Then you move higher. Then you have a new best. As Mommy has been teaching us, Then as you continue to lean on God and go, that best becomes baseline. Increase. Praise the Lord. So we go on the path of ever increasing faith. There's despair in the land. Amen. There's despair, there's anger, there's depression. But as we keep leaning on God's mercy, we will receive joy from the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's no joy in this world anymore. It's showing. They used to tell us some years ago, what we thought, there's no joy in this world anymore. Indeed, the scripture is correct. And at the end, every scripture will be fulfilled, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. So when you see you are losing that joy, plug into mercy. Amen. And when you have that joy, keep plugging into mercy. So that joy can abound and be full. Pastor Laulu. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's give a clap offering. Thank God. I think I'll just say a few things from what Prof has said. Ephesians 2:4. I wrote down some scriptures just to encourage us. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we're dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. All these beautiful things that we've heard, you know, from being dead, the lowest place you could be, to being raised up to be seated in heavenly places, whether you agree, whether you know or you don't know, whether you're conscious of it or you're not conscious of it, it is all rooted and based in the mercy of God. I know many times we shout about the revelation that we get and the good things that are happening to us or what the word has promised us. But you see, many times we always forget that it is because God is rich in mercy. And many times, mercy is not magnified or preached, like Prof has said. It's not spectacular. Especially in this world where self-made men, self-made boys are the things that you hear all around. Or, you know, comes to your mind and is bombarded. You read it in books, you see it on the TV, you see it on Twitter, on social media. And all that you are hearing is self-made men. All that you are hearing is, I think I wrote it here. All that we are hearing is brawls and brains. You know, how intelligent he is, how his IQ is high, you know, how he's so smart, how innovative he is, how creative. It's just the I we hear. And you never know that what is behind it is the mercy and the grace of God. And to men, it is very easy to forget that it's really because of his mercies that we're not consumed. It's really because of his mercy that is upon all his tender works, whether the man is a Christian or he's not a Christian, the mercy of God is upon all his tender works. And because his mercy is upon all his tender works, that is why men are not consumed. Do you understand? Whatever you see every day, his creation, the whole earth moving around about on its axis, is because of the mercies of the Lord. Like a comet is not hitting the earth, it's because of the mercy of the Lord. Anything can happen anytime, or could have happened anytime. It's the mercy of the Lord that is in another dimension, in different dimensions, upon all his creation. Are we together? So never forget that God is rich in his mercies, whether it is something that is expounded, or shouted about, or magnified, or silently talked to you about. It is the mercy of the Lord. Are we together? And also, I want you to know something. Isaiah 16:5. If you can quickly show me Isaiah 16:5. Just showing the importance of mercy. And you have to practice. You know, as Paul was teaching, and I was wondering, how then do we magnify this mercy, you know, and begin to magnify it in our lives? You need to exercise it. You need to think about it. You need to meditate. The reason why David could get some many of those revelations is because he sat down to think. Do you understand? Many times we don't think. We need to think. We need to be thinking people. You understand? When you think, then God will begin, the Holy Spirit begins to expound deep things onto you. You begin to see that it's not by your brawls, it's not by your brains, it's not by the school that you've gone. Do you understand? You know, it's the mercy of the Lord. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but the victory is of the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? And the earlier you know that as young people, the earlier you and I know that, the better it will be for us as we grow. You understand? Because God will be able to use you and take you to the heights, knowing that when you get there, you will not forget him. And you will not forget that it's the mercy of the Lord. So that's the difference between David. What set David apart in the heart of God? David always trusted in the mercy of God. And then he himself was an expression of God's mercy. Do you understand what I'm saying? He recognized that, the way I got there, I was just a sheep tender let's be honest and be frank. I was a nobody. And God uses the nobodies to shame the wise. See, you maybe right now, you have a house, you know, or I mean, you have some things that makes you, can easily blind you. Recognize that it's the mercy of the Lord. You know, sometimes you see some people walking on the road and you say, Lord, have mercy. You know, but you might not be in that same state. But still, it's the mercy of the Lord that has gotten to where you are. Are we together? And so in Isaiah 16 verse 5, he says, and in mercy shall the throne be established, and he shall sit upon it in truth in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking judgment and hastening righteousness. The point I want to make is, in mercy the throne is established. See, just like I'm trusting the mercy of God, even my throne or whatever I have, wherever I'm going to be, whatever God is going to make me, is going to be rooted and must be based on the mercy of God. It must have its foundation in the mercy of God. What does God sit on? What's the name of God's sofa in his house? Huh? Mercy seat. Do you understand? Why is God showing so much mercy? See, I'm moving from why God shows so much mercy and the importance of mercy. And you know that the greatest, one of the greatest dimensions of love of God is mercy. What he sits on is the mercy seat. God is a very big person. God is the biggest. The whole earth, the Bible says the heaven of heavens cannot fill him, cannot contain him. Everything, natural and spiritual, seen and unseen, is inside God. In him we live, move, and have our being. Everything that you see, good, bad, and ugly, everything is inside God. Do you understand what I'm saying? I hope you get what I'm saying. What I'm trying to say is that the person that made the computer is not inside the computer, he's outside the computer. Are we together? So he's the creator. Now, he's not the source of bad. He's not the source of evil. But what I'm trying to say is that nothing takes him by surprise. Everything, universe, physical and spiritual, is inside him. Do you understand what I'm saying? But the point I'm trying to make is, what does he sit on? Mercy. And that is why mercy is the default thing and the number one thing. Remember that he's surrounded by cherubims, though. And you have to know what those cherubims are. They are not things that shoot hearts on Valentine. It's not those things. So don't let them lie to you. Cherubims are, I don't want to say they are terrible things. They are terrible. They are terrible angels. They are good angels, but they are not angels to be messed up with or messed around with. If you remember what happened in the Garden of Eden, that's one of the places they were mentioned. What did they surround Eden with? Cherubims, flaming fire. They block the way. It's like judgment. Do you understand what I'm saying? So even God himself, the way he tempers, just imagine having a Doberman or a bulldog, a pit bull. You understand? And because you are there, they calm down. What am I trying to say? Mercy. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when you recognize that God has, as God is, and the Bible says he rides upon cherubims, as terrible as those things are, to remind you that it is mercy that is calming them down. It's mercy that is causing you not to be destroyed or consumed in my presence. Do you understand what I'm saying? The mercy, the thing that allows you to come boldly before the throne of grace, is to obtain mercy and find grace for help in time of need. The Bible calls the Lord just as a merciful and faithful, what? High priest. And when Prof was talking about this and he talked about Solomon, I remember the life of Solomon. You see, Solomon would have been a beautiful example of the Lord Jesus. David had secured that mercy for generations, for you and for me. Solomon started good. The Bible says that this thing has struck me. In 1 Kings chapter 4, it says that Solomon loved the Lord. Do you understand? By the time you get to the end, the Bible says that Solomon loved many strange women. See, there had been a twist. So that's another story for another day. And which you have to be careful about. Why did he lose that sure mercy? His love for God and wisdom that he had changed. Something happened. He loved many women, strange women. And you see, his testimony at the end was that he made things hard for people. He became very unmerciful. Do you understand? How do we know? When he died, his son that took his place, the people came to ask him that your father had made things hard for us by tax. What are you going to do? Please lighten this thing. Lighten the burden. And the young man, I don't know how to call him a stupid young man. The young man said they should give him 3 days. His name was Rehoboam. He said they should give him 3 days. He asked the elderly people. Sometimes it's better to go and ask the elderly people on Google. You understand? He asked the elderly people, and when the elderly people said, you know what? Make things lighter than what your father has done. Solomon's heart turned. He became hard. He needed tax. He needed to be rich. He needed to maintain the riches by natural power because he had begun to come down. So he still needed one kind of wisdom. I don't know why I'm thinking of tax collector. They've been doing it in Nigeria. Let's not talk about it. But he had to put his hand in their pocket forcefully to still maintain the status quo because the presence of God was beginning to depart. The mercies of the Lord that was granting him life, light. When you forget that his mercy, that he's giving you wisdom, then the mercy begins to withdraw and you still want to try and be on the top, forgetting that his mercy that raised you up. And so when Rehoboam told them to give him 3 days, the Bible says he consulted with the adults. The adults said, the elders of his father said, look, make things light for people. These people will be your slaves forever when you make things light for them. When there's not subsidy problem. You know? But then, he also did what? He also consulted with his mates. The young guys, his peers. The guy said, make it hard for them. See, your father's finger was like this. Make that make your father's finger. Your father's finger was like this. Make it like the middle finger. Not that one. Make it like the middle finger, meaning make it very thick. Your father beats them with something stripes. Said you beat them with scorpions. The son of Solomon. So 3 days, they came to me, and the people came to me and said, okay, so what do you say? He said, my father's finger was like this, Abi. I'm going to make it like the thickest finger. My father beat you with stripes, Abi. You people, I'm going to beat you with scorpion. And from that day, the Bible said the people departed from him. They said, to your tent, O Israel. He lost the people. He lost the kingdom. What are we trying to say? See, when you lose the mercy of God and you forget the mercy of God, it begins to make you act haywire, just like his father. Now, think of the Lord Jesus. I'll end with this. Like Paul was saying, the Lord Jesus remained humble. In fact, he was, the Bible calls him, the merciful and faithful high priest. Not only did he seek mercy, and how do you know that he's not a person that just sought mercy every day? He also expressed mercy. You have to learn to be merciful to people, guys. To be merciful, I will show myself merciful. You want a new dimension of mercy in your life. There's a default dimension of mercy, but you can dwindle. And you start to become proud and become self-made, like Lucifer. You understand? Person can lose it. Pride goes before destruction. A haughty eye is before a fall. It's even from the fall of the righteous who trusts in the mercy of God. And so, in this, the Bible calls the Lord just the merciful and faithful high priest. The Bible says the Bible will tell us about the Lord just, and he had compassion. He had mercy. To the merciful, I'll show myself merciful. Do you understand? He was always merciful and compassionate and considerate. And that's what many of us need to learn. And like Paul was saying, things might be hard outside. Remain compassionate, guys. Remain merciful. Do you understand? Even if his Lord have mercy on me and show some kindness to people. Sometimes it's tough for myself and prof. When people ask for things, we look, you see, go length and bound to just try and help while still teaching. Do you understand? That is not just this mercy that you're getting or this kindness, but you yourself, you have to learn to fish. You have to learn to pray. Do you understand? But the point we're trying to make is, especially in these tough times, be merciful. Sow in mercy so that you reap in mercy. Do you understand? So in mercy are you reaping abundance. You might be thinking of what you don't have. I'm not talking about what you don't have. Don't let that limit and block you from the abundance of mercy that God has for you, from a harvest of mercy that God has for you. Do you understand what I'm saying? When I'm buying things and I don't negotiate, I might jokingly say that, but I now remember what things are going through, what people are going through. At this time, is the time to show mercy. Do you understand what I'm saying? Even if it's just $50 you have, you might not have much. You can show mercy. Do you understand what I'm saying? Go out. That's what God does for you. He goes out of the way to show mercy, to show love, because that is a product of love. And so, end with this. Hebrews 2:17. This is the person we want to be like. We don't want to end like Solomon. We want to be like the Lord Jesus. As opposed to conform to his image. Wherefore, in all things, it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be what? A merciful and what? Faithful high priest. The altar, the mercy seat of God on the earth. The Lord just became and is that mercy seat. He is the merciful and faithful high priest, ever making reconciliation, ever making intercession for us. And we are supposed to be like him. Ultimately, you are supposed to be merciful. You want to sit on the throne? The throne of God is not the throne of judgment. It's a throne of mercy. Do you understand? Yeah, he disciplines. He doesn't take nonsense. His eyes are too holy to behold iniquity. Don't get us wrong. But the foundation is judgment and mercy. But before that throne is mercy and truth. The name of that sofa is mercy seat. Are we together? So, because if we want to reach high places in this end time, especially as a Christian, we don't want string children in high places again. It's going to be merciful people like David. Even though he never killed Saul, when Saul died, he still said, who is in Saul's house that I can show mercy to, that I can bless? Those are the kind of leaders that we want. Hard people will not get there. They are going, their times are short. Are you listening to me? And especially when things are going to change, a new nation will be born. It's not going to be a hard taskmaster like Rehoboam. He's going to be a merciful-hearted person like the Lord Jesus. A merciful-hearted person like David. So this thing that we're teaching is not just, we're not talking religion. We're talking we are going to take to different fields and areas and positions of leadership that God is going to thrust you and put you in. So the common man, in the place of politics, in the place of religion, different facets, we need merciful and faithful high priests. We need mercy seats in those places that will not allow judgments to come against that city or against that department or against that field or against that family or against that neighborhood. Are you listening to me? Because there is a mercy seat in that place. Let's bow heads as we pray. The importance of mercy. In Paul ending, it says, in beginning Romans 12, it says, I beseech you by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Let me read that as we end. Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, where they're always thinking of themselves, self-made men, self-made women. I got it by myself. I didn't need anybody. Brains and brawls and power and my natural strength, natural talent. He says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Begin to think of it and appreciate the mercy of God. It's because of the mercy of God. Boys and girls, young people might be around you and say, we got it by our own power. I got it by my knowledge. I know the skill. I know how to go about it. But you have to start changing. It has to be an intentional change of your mind that is the mercy of God. I'm not trying to be religious. It's the mercy of God that is giving, by which I'm getting wisdom, by which I'm getting skill, by which I'm getting knowledge, by which I'm making it. Even if I haven't achieved the fullness yet, but the mercy of God is going to see me through. Daniel, they didn't know the dream. They didn't know the answers to the king's problem. The Bible says that Daniel besought and sought the mercies of the Lord in the night. Because they were already killing people. He sought the mercies of God and God gave him wisdom. So seeking mercy does not mean you are the backside or you are the last. It means that you're already getting the path to be at the front, to be at the beginning, to be a savior, to be a deliverer, to fulfill purpose and destiny, to get wisdom, knowledge, creativity. It is by seeking the mercies of God that God downloaded wisdom for them. And Daniel not only saved himself and his friends, they also saved the other people that were already being struck dead by Nebuchadnezzar. So this is the importance of the mercy of God. Transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable and perfect will of God. I just want you to pray a prayer. God, help me to trust in your mercies. Help me, Lord, not to be religious about this matter of mercies, not to be religious about it at all. I'm not trying to be religious and say, oh, it's the mercy of God. Where in my heart I'm still trusting my strength. Lord, help me to truly understand, appreciate, value, live by your mercies. Help me to live by your mercies, to trust in your mercies, to take advantage of your mercies, to have power, to generate power. Power for godliness, power for righteousness, power to improve, power to succeed, to excel, to prosper, power to fulfill purpose and destiny. Help me to always trust in your mercies. Grant me revelation of this thing called mercy, to live by your mercies. Mercy in every area. Now that he says mercies, mercy every day I live. His mercies are new every morning. Help me to tap into the mercy of each morning, of each 24-hour session. Lord, they are new every morning. The mercy of tomorrow is fresh. Help me as I wake up. Lord, have mercy. Let me tap into that mercy for that day. The mercy for that day will give me life. It will give me strength. It will give me health. It will give me light. It will give me understanding. It will give me favor. Help me to tap into it by your blood. Help me to tap into it as I read your word. Help me to tap into it as I pray in the spirit. It's the spirit of mercy. It's a spirit of supplication. Help me to tap into it so all things work together for my good, knowing that at the end of it all, it is because of your mercy, Father. So you will always take the glory and receive the glory, and you alone will be exalted and magnified. Help me to value your mercy and how to transform the life and the power and the fuel that comes out of the mercy into power in every area of my life. Thy kingdom come, O God, thy will be done. Let's just pray in the spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you.